give me either the heather or the heather. I told you we're out of Phoenix Down. Okay, all right.
Hi, you're listening to MageCast, the ensemble podcast by the well-read mage and a cast of mages. Each episode, I sit down with my rotating panel of guests to have some civil discourse about a single game. We're a group of games writers dedicated to long-form content and critique. You can find us on WordPress at thewellreadmage.com, on Twitter at thewellreadmage, and on YouTube. Crowdfunding support makes projects like MageCast possible. If you enjoy our work, written or otherwise, you can check out our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/thewellreadmage for more information on exclusives, rewards, and our vision for a future of better games writing and a friendlier gaming community. Links are in the description. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and share MageCast with your fellow adventurers. Leave us a review, too. Oh, and now let's start the show. So, hey, welcome to another episode of MageCast. Today, I'm enthused beyond enthusiasts to talk with two fine gentlemen. And yes, I can report that they're fine because we've got video going. But I'm sorry, listeners, this is a podcast. You're going to have to just put up with our sultry audio. Today, we're going to be talking about an exceptional game. But before we get into that futuristic classic, I just wanted to give these guys both their due. And they can introduce themselves, talk about what they're playing and what they're planning. So let's actually start with you, Ryan. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me a part of the podcast. It's something that I wanted to get involved with for a while. So when you gave me the chance to be a part of it, I certainly jumped at it. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. So my name is Ryan. I'm the beer mage. And actually, I'm part of a co-host of the Retro Gamers podcast. What we do is basically we talk about old video games as well as another passion of ours, which is beer. And it's really me and my best friend back from home getting a chance to chit-chat what we would have normally done anyway, is sit down and talk about video games and beer. So it's been a great opportunity for me to kind of reconnect with him, even though we've moved across the country from each other. And we do this bi-weekly, just get a chance to have some fun and talk about nerd culture for a while.
Nice. Very cool. Well, where can listeners find your podcast?
So up until this point, what we've been doing is we've been just releasing it to a small audience, so a private kind of opportunity to maybe do, say, a focus group to get some feedback, to find out if it's something people want to listen to. And recently we decided, hey, you know what? It's time to go live. Let's make this a public podcast. So in the coming weeks, you can find it. It's going to be available on pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast. But as of right now, you can certainly seek me out on Twitter, which is at Boss versus Noob, BossVsNoob, or the Retro Game Brews podcast.
Right on, right on. And you're launching a site for that pretty soon, is that right?
Right. So hopefully nobody steals it, so fingers crossed. But RetroGameBrews.com. Checked out the domain. It's not there yet. But
okay, good. Right? I was like, you checked it, right? That's hilarious. Right, all right. So. And then what are you playing right now?
So right now, it's ironically enough, I'm not playing anything retro besides obviously Mega Man X today to prepare for today's podcast. But a good friend of mine, the true Johnny G, who is, I believe, a warrior of light for the well-read mage.
Yep. Yes. Much appreciated.
Indeed. He plays Dead by Daylight on Twitch, and I've decided that it's time to go ahead and join him. So he's actually invited me along to play Dead by Daylight, which is a lot of fun. It's a horror-based game. You go around, you're either a survivor trying to fix generators to escape a killer, or you're a killer trying to kill four survivors. So quick, fun, and a little bit scary.
Nice. Yeah, I don't do too well with scary games. I think the last one I played was Alien Isolation.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, which we did a podcast episode on. And urinating yourself on a beanbag chair is not comfortable. I imagine that didn't happen to me, but it almost did.
Not.
Yeah, of course not. I'm a man, you know. Yeah. Anyways, so thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's get on to our next guest here. This is someone who's this is now your second appearance on MageCast. But go ahead, introduce yourself, sir.
I am the ABXY. Oh, I'm sorry.
He said earlier your voice is too bassy, so keep that in mind.
What? Too bassy?
No such thing.
Yeah. Yes, my name is Brent. I am the ABXY mage. This is my second appearance after the Earthbound episode, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, we're happy to have you back. Heck yeah. So, well, let's start with a softer question first. What is your favorite kind of silk? No, just kidding. What are you playing right now?
I'm playing Guacamelee 2 right now.
Ooh. I know you're a fan of Guacamelee.
Yes.
You did a review for the first one.
Yes, I did. I think it's the highest review I've given so far, actually.
Yeah.
Raiden.
Yeah. Because yeah. Otherwise, yeah, you're like, you grade below the 5 mostly.
It right? seems that way. Yeah, it seems that way so far. But
that's good. That's fair.
I'm very happy to be playing the second one. So far, it's great. It's exactly what I wanted out of it so far.
And then what are you planning?
What am I planning in general?
In terms of a specific, this is okay. I just want to like pump this up a little bit. this is probably the most euphorically awesome thing you're about to hear, listeners. It's a branch. Let's say that we don't even know what to call it. It's a branch of the Well-Read Mage that's going to be headed up by the ABXY Mage. So that specifically is what I'm talking about as far as what you're planning.
Yes, I knew that. I thought also.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to pump it up a little bit, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you were just pulling that out of me. It just needed to happen. So.
Yeah. So as we've discussed, we're going to be branching off a little bit. I'm going to be doing a separate podcast starting fairly soon called Side Quests, and basically where the Mage Cast is about a single game and an in-depth look at that single game. Side Quests is going to be more of a vague, is a bad word, but not so specific. Each episode's not just going to be one topic. It's not just going to be an in-depth look at one thing and then various pieces of that one thing. So the first episode we've already planned out, and can I reveal?
Yeah, do like a teaser.
A little
just
tease.
Like, yeah, you know like how they do in the movies? Just like, just a tease.
Okay. In a world.
Yeah. No, in a world surrounded
Jump!
By water. There you go. And cut to logo. Okay, we're showing the actual logo right now, ladies and gentlemen. But again, it's a podcast. So you can't see it.
Unfortunately. You should see the studio, too. It's just amazing. I'm sitting in it now.
Yeah. Yeah, bedazzled with gemstones. Just, yeah, gorgeous.
So the first episode really is going to be kind of a general look at the relationship between music and video games. And Red himself is going to be the guest on the first episode.
I will be there. Yeah, I will be there. And it's going to be cool. I will try to not to be nervous. Because I know most of my guests that I've had so far have been like really nervous to be on a podcast. Ryan, I don't think you're nervous. Because you're like we were talking about before. Ryan has been podcasting since December 2017. Is that what you said?
Yep, that's right.
Which is millions of times more seconds than I've done podcasting. So he is a podcastery veteran. I'm sure, yeah, don't get nervous. But I will try not to be nervous on Side Quests. So, yeah, look forward to that. We don't really have a launch date yet. We're still – what are we doing still for that? I mean, I guess the icon needs to be done, huh?
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah.
And getting the last pieces of the equipment together. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pain in the butt, the equipment part. Yeah. Everybody hates that about doing a podcast. Like, now I got to buy stuff. Ugh. Anyways, though, so let's dive right into this thing. So this episode is called Do Reploids Dream of Electric Guitar? I did not come up with that title. I have to give a shout out to the Hyperactive Coffee Mage. I believe it was who said, do Reploids Dream of, did he say Electric Guitar or Spark Mandrel?
He said Electric Guitar first and then also later said Spark Mandrel.
Okay. So
I think he came up with both ideas.
Yeah. And that is, yeah, Great title. Thank you very much, sir. We're going to be talking about Mega Man X. Mega Man X is such a great game. Both of you guys had a chance to replay a little bit of it. I didn't because I've been fairly busy. So this is all from memory, but that's okay because I think they've played this game hundreds of times through. When I moved from Hawaii to California, I packed my Super Nintendo in my backpack. And this was one of the three or four games that I brought along. So as soon as I had TV, I was like, oh, I'm going to play some Mega Man X in 2002. So love this game. But I wanted to start off by talking about just your guys' sort of general impressions. I just gushed a little bit. I'm sorry. But your guys' general impressions and memories maybe of Mega Man X, this spin-off, this reboot. Is it? I always thought of it as a reboot. What about you guys?
I guess technically it's a sequel, right?
I guess that's so, yeah.
Yeah, I think technically.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank God. I didn't think of that. So, you learn something new every day. Yeah. So, but yeah, go ahead, Ryan. What are some of your impressions about Mega Man X?
So, first of all, I think that obviously the Japanese title nails it with this one, which I think is in, of course, every Mega Man game out there. But Rockman is really the description for this entire game. This game absolutely rocks. I love the soundtrack for this. The music on it is spectacular. I even right now, I'm not even kidding, I have three of the tracks on my phone that I listen to while I work out.
Okay, and, can I guess them?
Oh, go for it.
Okay, Spark Mandrill.
Yes.
Storm Eagle.
Yes. Ooh, two for two.
All right. Shoot. The last one is either the highway theme from the intro stage or Sigma Stage 1.
Sigma Stage 1. I thought I had you. Well done. Yeah, give him a round of applause, everybody.
Thank you.
That was spectacular.
Let's end the podcast right now because that, yeah.
Right, done.
And on a high note.
Yeah.
And also for me, when I was a kid with this game, I liked it because it was one of those games. Because admittedly, back in the day, I was a Nintendo fanboy. I am a veteran of the console wars. This one was one of those games where people would say, well, Sega, you know, they've got so many things like Altered Beast and, Mortal Kombat's better on Sega. And I'd be like, Mega Man X. Drop the mic.
We have Vector Man.
Right. And unbeknownst to me or anybody who lived in North America, Mega Man actually made it to the Sega Genesis or Mega Drive, but never got released in North America because I think they had the Wily Wars was released in Europe, which I think was a rehash of Mega Man 1, 2, and 3, and then there's an extra level to it. But again, when I was a kid, no one ever heard of Mega Man being on anything Sega related. So that was the mother of all bombs opportunity to drop that and be like Mega Man X. There's a lot of fond memories for that, but also it's a spectacular game through and through. The controls are really tight. The upgrades are spectacular. And it follows along with the, Mega Man games that I loved even, when I was much, much younger. In the regular Nintendo era. So overall, there's not a whole lot to say that I would be a negative critique of this game. It's tough to find stuff. It's almost to the point what you're searching. So
yeah, no, I'd agree with that. What about you, Brent?
I guess I don't know if this would be luckily or unluckily, but Mega Man X was actually the first Mega Man that I ever played.
So let's break down that thought. I'm going to say unluckily because it's all downhill from here for Mega Man X, in my opinion. Like, this is the peak of it. This is the first game.
Well, I also have the only other X game I've played is 2, and I played that for the first time last year.
Oh, okay. I like 2. 2 is a fun game.
I thought so. I kind of feel like it was basically the same as the first one. It didn't really add anything.
Yeah, essentially.
And I think that's all Mega Man games. I mean, you look 1 through 6, it's pretty much the same thing as well.
Yeah.
They added the charge and they added the slide throughout the first 6.
Yeah. There's things, well, even in the original NES games, you had when, they gave Mega Man the red jet suit. It was like, that's a little tweak there that they added to the game, but essentially, yeah, fairly much the same game, and known for being formulaic too.
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at it, like X2 added the speeder bikes, and I think X3 added the jump dash.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, there's a little bit, but yeah. if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. So. Oh, air dash. I forgot about that. But go ahead, Brent.
But yeah, so X was the first one I ever played, and then I went back and played, I think 3 was the second one. Now I've played all of the first 6, and then I played X2 after that. But this was very luckily. My brother's friend from down the street got an N64 when, like, launch day N64, and I had borrowed some Super Nintendo games from him, Mega Man X being one of them. And when he got back from the store with his N64, he came over and said, "Hey, all that Super Nintendo stuff that you have of mine, you can just keep it. I don't need it anymore. I have a Nintendo 64. So that was how I got Mega Man X, Super Return of the Jedi, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy IV, Super Metroid.
That was all right, end the podcast right now. Right? Like, that's, and he got stuck with an N64.
And he never asked for it back. He never ended up regretting it. I ended up getting a Nintendo 64 also, but I didn't stupidly just give away all of my best games.
What if he's listening and he's just like, "Oh, I made a huge error."
Sure he remembers. He would have to by now.
Right. Man, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI, Mega Man 4. X.
Final Fantasy 4. Yeah.
Oh, Mega 4. Man, I'm sorry.
4, I thought Final you said Fantasy 6. 4, Chrono Trigger, Mega Man X, Super Metroid.
Super Metroid.
Like, wow.
Yeah. That is quite the gift basket. Well, I remember one of the first games I remember picking out from a Toys R Us was on my birthday, and it was Mega Man 4. So I played the NES games first and loved them, adored them. And then I remember visiting a friend's house and he was playing Mega Man X. And I recognized the character. He's all blues, shoot straight forward, you know, all that. But man, did it look awesome. I mean, blew my mind when I was a kid that this game could be this fast, this awesome with the music. The level of polish in Final Fantasy, I'm always talking Final Fantasy. the level of polish on Mega Man X is insane. It's really high. So, we kind of just bridge now into talking about differences between Mega Man X and the classic series. How they were different. How they remain different, really. Because as we all know, you know, they just released the 11th title in the classic series recently. Which I heartily recommend. Be a review on it coming probably this weekend. But someone on Twitter, the Deviot, talked about the differences between X and the classic series and how he preferred the classic series. But I think that you can make that distinction because I like that you phrased it as a sequel. But it still has sort of its own energy, its own fluidity. I don't want to talk about those things too much because I want to get your guys' thoughts on that too. So what are some distinctions between Mega Man X and classic Mega Man?
I think the first thing that really comes to mind for me, of course, is the upgrades portion of it. I mean, that's, to me, that's almost in a way like an RPG element to it, where you feel as though you're adding some armor to it. There's some, you know, extra incentive to get things. And in the previous Mega Man, yes, you get, you know, the weapons from all the robot masters. But, I mean, you're still doing that in Mega Man X, but there's an extra added level to that. And, in fact, there's even, kind of an Easter egg that you can find where Capcom added an extra one in for you that's – I don't know if you guys are familiar with the – the coveted Hadouken.
Yes. Oh, what is this apparently. Hadouken? I've never heard of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So adding all of that, it's well done.
Hey, did you
well
guys done. Know about the Hadouken, like, contemporaneously? Like,
not as a kid. Never
no,
heard
just,
of it.
Like, just stumbled upon it? No. No,
yeah. It's not a stumbly thing. No. I'd never heard of it from any friend in the schoolyard back in the day.
Definitely not.
Yeah. So I found it, like, not even on accident, but I found it on the internet like 20 years later or something. I'm like, what? Yep. There's a secret in this game that I didn't know about. You know, you think you know a game, but then they go out and run out on you. Anyway,
they hide it pretty well.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way you could just stumble upon it. What, are you going to jump off five times off of the cliff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Unless you fail that jump five times and then overshoot it the sixth time, right? Which is just be like, whoa. But yeah. Plus the Hadouken was, I couldn't even get Mega Man to do the move. You know,
well, Super Nintendo controller, of course, is not ideal for the Hadouken.
No. Yeah, yeah, no, I thought the one in X2 was a lot easier to pull off than.
Right.
I don't remember what it's called, the Dragon Kick or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know much about Street Fighter, so.
Yeah, neither do I. I'm not that good at it. I always get my butt kicked on fighting games. But well, I like what you talked about with the upgrades, the capsules, the Dr. Light capsules. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to see upgrades be a lot more internal to the character rather than in the NES games. You got upgrades to Rush and you got, the jetpack that we mentioned earlier. But those things were very external. You kind of had to switch between them. But having all of those abilities at once, and especially with it changing his armor, super cool. In fact, we were asked a question by Games with Coffee. What's your favorite armor set in the Mega Man X series? I don't know if I have one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't know if I necessarily have a specific one. I would just, I mean, obviously, starting off with the first Mega Man X here, it's the one I'm most familiar with, so I think I'd probably go with that one.
Yeah. I feel like there was an armor set later in the series, and I don't remember on what game, but where some of the upgrades weren't that clear as to how you were to use them. So I like that the Mega Man X armor set, it had like clear and obvious uses, like dashing, more defense, right, was the torso part.
Yeah.
And then the upgrade to the charge. And then your head was just like, what do you use your head for? Destroying blocks, obviously. Like Super Mario has trained you to think that way since 1985. So
I also like that the charge shot, when you upgrade it, it also upgrades the Robot Masters or the Maverick weapons as well.
Yeah.
So yes.
Some extra incentive to it.
Yeah.
Which I love that. That's just spectacular.
Yeah. And they did something like that in Mega Man 11 with the double gear. You can kind of, get an upgraded version of the boss weapons. But yeah, that definitely wasn't around in the older classic games. What about some other distinctions? Any knocking around in your noggin, Brent?
You kind of touched on it, but certainly the visual aesthetic of it, it's much, it's much sharper, it's much cleaner. Obviously going to the Super Nintendo, but then I finally played Mega Man 7, and when you compare Mega Man 7 with Mega Man X, you wonder why they made Mega Man 7.
But exactly,
it's much duller, it's much rounder, it's much slower. Mega Man X, that's another thing, is it's fast. Some of the NES Mega Man games were faster than others, some of them not so much, but it is fast all the way through. The upgrades, definitely. The wall jumping.
Yeah. The wall jumping, I think, influenced a whole different set of level design philosophies.
Yeah.
You could build levels in different ways.
And hide secrets in more places also. Yeah. I mean, we talked about, Ryan and I both played the game a little bit earlier today to brush up on. That's one of the things that stood out to me, actually, was they really make you use the wall jump quite a lot in Mega Man X. And I don't know if it's because it was a new feature to the series or not, but it really did add things to the level design that you kind of wondered, where are they going to go from here after 6 games or 7? Yeah. I don't remember if X came out before 7 or not. I think it did.
I would guess so, but I'm not sure on that one.
And one of the other differences that I was thinking about too, because now that you mentioned going through the playthrough, that that first portion of the game that you play, that's basically a tutorial.
Yeah.
Teaches you how to play the game, which you're not, I mean, play Mega Man 1. There's no tutorial.
No, it's just like cut man staging, you're dead in 30 seconds.
Boom, exactly. It throws you in it and goes, good luck, buddy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where this one teaches you the wall jump, it takes you through kind of the platforming portions of it. There's even a boss fight, so if you've never played a Mega Man game, you're familiar with it already and how it works. So,
There's mini bosses even.
Yeah.
Right, the helicopter slug things, I guess.
I always thought they were like hornets, or
like hornets.
Or
yeah, bees. I don't know.
That's probably a more accurate description.
But it was off the cuff, and that's the appreciative part.
There you go.
Yeah, I like that with that confrontation with Vile at the end of the highway level, the introductory level, where you just couldn't beat him. I remember trying so many times to beat him, but I think they were making a point thematically with that Mega Man is in a different environment now. This is playing with the big boys. This is the real future. It's not a bunch of, you know, honky tonk retro robots anymore with their silly gimmicks. This is Mega Man X. This is 21XX.
Yeah. Well, they actually, in the dialogue after that scene between Mega Man and the boss, he actually says, points out that he's not nearly strong enough or whatever. But then he disappears when Zero shows up.
Right.
And Zero says he was built for war. There's nothing you can do. And that's way different from the enemies in air quotes from the NES games, where they were just corrupted worker robots, essentially.
Right. Like, this is a construction robot that now is evil, so he can throw rocks at you, you know? But yeah, no, and that's a good point. And now we're dealing with a lot of darker concepts. Zero, I always joke around about spoilers for like a game from the 90s, but spoilers. Zero bites it at the end of this, this game. What? Oh, you didn't play that far? No. Which I thought was astounding, because I don't remember a character dying in the classic series. I mean, obviously they all did eventually, but we don't get to see that. But Zero getting torn in half like Bishop at the end of Aliens was like exactly how I thought of it. I was like, oh my gosh. And yeah, and so another distinction, Mega Man X obviously has this darker, more mature tone to it than the cheerful classic games. But to dive – well, no, let me cut that. Also, the something that you mentioned earlier, Ryan, was the Robot Masters versus the Mavericks.
Right.
So in X – we're talking about Mavericks and not just Robot Masters. Now, Mavericks were, and I try to read up on as much Mega Man lore as possible. I know you mentioned you did as well. Some of it, I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. But Mavericks are basically, so Reploids, we'll break this down.
Okay.
Androids were Mega Man or Rock, right? The original Mega Man. Roll, Rush, Bass. I almost said it. We were talking earlier before you got on, Brent, about some guy who you were watching, Ryan, and he kept saying bass instead of bass, and he even in his video put like he said the word bass, and then he put a bass riff after it, like. and still called it bass.
Like the rest of it just kept calling it bass.
Do you think when he was fishing, he fished for bass?
Oh, maybe. Maybe he fished for bass. But yeah.
Vowel
so
blind,
all those.
Would that be?
What?
I said like vowel blind, like yeah, color blind with.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. That will
it was
explain.
A stretch. That's fine. We'll cut this.
Oh no, this is gold. People listen to podcasts
this will
for
be Patreon exclusive material.
Yeah. I think people listen to podcasts because they like listening to people mess up. So, yeah, it's beautiful. Anyways, plus there's less work for me to cut stuff out. So, you know,
imagine adding beer into the mix. Oh, for a podcaster.
Yeah, RGB's got it rough. I bet. Just like it took me 2 years to edit one episode. So anyways, those guys, the robots from the classic series were androids. Now in X, we've got Reploids, which were replicated based off of the designs of Mega Man X, who is the last android. Is that correct? Sounds bad.
Yeah, and he was given the opportunity to have free will. So he's allowed to have emotions. He's allowed to think on his own.
Yeah.
So all the Reploids were based off of his design.
Okay. And so those Reploids then, when they go rogue or when they turn evil, get corrupted from programming or viruses, then they become Mavericks. And so X becomes this Maverick hunter. It's like a bounty hunter for Mavericks specifically. So they kind of worked out a little more lore than in the classic series, where it's just like Wily made these construction robots evil. Well, now you have, like, you know, rogue robots, Mavericks, who ditched the man suffix, and now they're like animals, which I always thought was really cool. Do you guys have a favorite Maverick boss in this game?
Favorite, let's see, I would say, man, I don't know.
I have to look at a picture of them.
I don't know. In terms of, I guess, visuals, I really like Launch Octopus, and I like, probably in terms of visual, my favorite is probably Spark Mandrill. I really like his design. He seems almost older than he should be. In terms of his parts,
Like the Christmas lights on his body,
like his clunky big round shoulders and the hoses sticking out, and
yeah.
But he's really cool looking. I like him, even though I don't like his stage all that much.
His stage has such good music. What about you, Ryan?
Well, definitely.
Well, yeah.
Well, It's a tie for me between Storm Eagle and Sigma himself. So Sigma being, of course, our end boss. Now, I like Storm Eagle for two reasons. Obviously, I like the music.
Oh, yeah.
Right? but also, I just like his stage itself. You're on a ship. It's almost like you're traversing through there. And then when you fight him, you're fighting on a ship that is crashing down from the sky. And I always found that to be kind of cool, you know. And I always thought to myself, is there like a time limit on this? You
know? Yeah.
Clearly, I'm going to hit the earth eventually with this. But you know, he's not the hardest boss. In fact, he's pretty easy as long as you have, obviously, the dash boots. But outside of that, it's just, I don't know, visually, he's kind of foreboding as well. When you first see him, you go, oh, my goodness, this guy can fly. So a lot of extra added elements to it. And the other one is Sigma, which there's – and spoiler alert again for this one if you're not familiar. Right? There are three elements to his final boss battle. So the first one is he goes, hey, you know what? I don't feel like fighting you. Fight my dog. Right? And so you destroy his dog.
Yeah, and you're like, what kind of a monster sends out their dog?
And his first reaction isn't, oh my goodness, my dog died. It's good job. You know? Clearly, you've done a great job. And so then you fight him. He's got this beam sword. He jumps back and forth. It's a pretty easy pattern. And then all of a sudden, you destroy him and his head like floats up into the air into like this huge contraption, which takes up the whole screen. And this is one of the toughest boss battles besides, I think, probably the Yellow Devil. From the first Mega Man.
Screw that guy. I hate that.
Right?
Yeah, Yellow Devil.
Awful. Awful.
Right. And you're literally waiting for two hands to come down because it's the wolf. It's the wolf version of him. Two of these claws to come down. And so you can jump on them and then attack his head. Up until that point, you can't attack his head. So you're quite literally waiting through all of his attacks just to have him go, here you go. Jump on my hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that so is a rough boss fight.
Right, it's intense. So just for the factor of, you know, difficulty, I think that he's and of course the music involved with that one too. So it's all good.
Now, I like if it. I remember correctly, he was only vulnerable to armored armadillo's weapon. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. I think so. If you remember right. Yep.
Yeah. So if you died, it's like you had to farm those worms in the chasm, right? Going up to his boss
takes
room.
Takes forever.
Yeah. I was just like, screw you, Capcom, for for making that a thing. I liked Launch Octopus for his like taunt that he does, where like the "you're going down" thing, but he does it like silently. I like that. I liked Storm Eagle for the wings were definitely imposing, like you said.
Yeah.
But my favorite for his ridiculous name was Boomer Kawanger. I remember, and this was back in the, you know, what, 94 that I played this game. So I'm like 9 or 10 years old at this point, and I was scouring libraries to try and figure out what the heck a Kawanger is, and asking adults and stuff like that. They're like, I don't know. But it's a localization of like a Japanese word for a stag beetle, right? Or something right. like that, a rhinoceros beetle. I like his name. Plus his music is amazing. That yeah, great stuff.
So did Boomer Kawanger get you into like getting involved with the library? So eventually you would become the well-read mage.
Well, see, and this is a common misconception that must be put out. I am not well-read. R-E-A-D. I've never said that. I've never made that point. Somebody was like, so who was it? Oh, it was the Purple Prose Mage. Shout out to our dear friend, the Purple Prose Mage, who said a quote from a book, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's just like, I thought you were the well-read mage. I was like, yeah, red, like the color. That's it. So let it be known. I've never read a book. I don't even know what. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Boomer Kawanger, you guys have a favorite stage? I know we kind of just touched on that a little bit. I like Storm Eagles climbing up the conveyor belt at the beginning. If you time it right and get on there right away, when the music picks up, that and it like carries you into the blue, like as like chills the first time that happened to me. I was like, what? Yeah, amazing. So but yeah, any favorite stage specifically? If not, we'll jump to the next thing.
I also like the Storm Eagle stage, but I really like the Armored Armadillo stage too, riding on the mine platform, whatever it is, thing. I always liked that.
Yeah.
A lot. So probably that. Me.
And I always had friends of mine who bragged in, you know, during recess that they could destroy that, you know, huge machine the spiky spinny wheel on the front of it without using, you know, the any other Maverick weapons. You could just do it with the Mega Buster. And oh yeah, sure, absolutely, you can do it. And they're liars. So. Yeah. but that's what you do as kids. You lie to each other.
Like you look down and they have like a robot hand, and you're like, well, that's how. You know, like super fast. Okay, so music we touched on a little bit. Now, all of the music in this game, I can't think of a single song on this game that sucks. Maybe the game over, not game over, the password screen song is not like anybody's particular favorite. It's just kind of like hokey.
Sure, it is.
Yeah, but you need that in there. I mean, are you guys working out at the gym to the password select song?
Every day.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what I'm doing to the password select.
Okay. Well,
oh, okay.
Yeah, let's say, hey, generally family friendly. now I have all sorts of images. So I will post this to you just for that, Brent, just for that. Okay. Give me your favorite Mega Man X track one, and also you have to sing it, so don't just say the name of it.
Oh man.
Yeah, and do it poorly because it's funnier when it's poor.
I can't believe I have to sing it too.
Yeah, just a snippet. This is just the whole thing.
I'm lying. The hard part is picking a favorite one.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You're like, my vocals are exquisite, but picking, yeah, favorite track. Well, I'll go. I've got the How does it start? Yeah. Spark Mandrel song is so great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
It might just be one of the best pieces of music ever written in human history. Like, prior and still to come. Like, it is that good.
I don't know. It's really hard for me to pick a favorite, honestly. I love that one. I think the Chill Penguin theme is
underrated. It is underrated, yeah. Because it's first.
Well, it depends on how you play. But yeah, it's first.
If you don't pick Chill Penguin first, you might be a weirdo. I don't know. Do you guys know? I always pick Chill Penguin first.
Pick Chill Penguin first, yeah, definitely.
I got to have my dash, you know?
It's not just that. Definitely the easiest boss to beat with the Mega Buster.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay, Ryan's kind of bobbing his head. What do you got, Ryan? Oh, you are on mute, sir.
So I've got to go with Storm Eagle on this one. So naturally, right? So it's ba 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 do 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 ba. All right, that is the most you'll ever get out of me.
that was beautiful. I've just figured out my new favorite thing to do to podcast guests is ask them to sing the music for their favorite track from a game. I love my job.
And so I will let you know, I was on mute because I was totally cheating and I pulled it up on my phone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know. I just, after Moses one, I was like, that's all I could hear in my head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Spark Mandrel, huh?
Okay, yeah.
So, Brent, you, 2 out of 3, you got it. You're right. The last dude right here.
It's too hard to pick a favorite, so I'll just pick one that nobody has mentioned yet and at all during the whole episode. And that is Sigma Fortress 3, which is do 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 do. There you go. That's what you get.
Yes.
And isn't that the beginning to the Peter Gunn theme, right?
Essentially.
Isn't that like, right, essentially, that's the beginning portions of the Peter Gunn theme.
And they got it from Mega Man X, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, obviously.
Makes sense. So, like we've just been saying, this whole soundtrack is exceptional by multiple people, but mostly credited to Setsuo Yamamoto. And I think it's, let me try to say this delicately. I think it's a shame that the rest of the series didn't keep up with this soundtrack. Even the classic series stuff, I really like the soundtrack to Mega Man 2. But the further you get, it seems like the further you get into the Mega Man series, the more it turns into elevator music. You know, that's nice, but it doesn't have the same edge, in my opinion, the same edge to it.
I think most of them just have a couple standouts.
Yeah.
But then the rest, for the most part, like you said. Because I can name at least probably 2 or 3 standout tracks from every Mega Man I've played.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. The later it goes on, and that's probably part of the reason I think 5 and 6 are two of my least from the original NES games.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, like Mega Man X5, it's just like some dude on a keyboard, you know? Like it's, it sounds like to me, yeah. It's just like, yeah. Beep, 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 beep. And so yeah, it needs to.
If is X5 also the one that has the boss that goes, hey, hey, or whatever?
I think so. It was the PlayStation
Fire
1.
Cheetah, some kind one. Of something like
that. Yeah. That's the one with Storm Eagle. Or not Storm Eagle. Storm Owl. What an idiot. Storm Owl.
Storm Owl. Where did they come from?
Wasn't
up with
it Storm Owl? Friggin'. Now I gotta look it up.
Yeah, it was Storm Owl. Yep.
It was Storm Owl.
How unique.
And it's all Storm Owl, and you're like, what? This is not that cool, guys. Yeah.
Just because you can have voice acting doesn't mean you have to have.
Thank you.
Which you bring up a really good point. This one didn't have voice acting, which I think made it better. But if you go into the later X games and even the Mega Man games, my goodness. Some of the worst voiceover acting. I mean, I'll state the obvious here. 8.
Yeah.
Right? Where it sounds like, and we were talking about this before, it sounds like they just like went out into the street. They saw two people. And they're like, you come in $20. We'll pay you for the day. Just say some stuff and then leave. And so they had a guy come in, and it was like, oh, hey, Mega Man, Dr. Wily.
You would think even if that was the entire process, they would still say, just say Dr. Wily for me. Dr. Like, Wily, there has to be some other person on the street.
And at that point, why not just have like a production member like do the voices? That would sound like a thousand times
better.
You know, then like, it's based on OJ, Mega Man, you got the Dr. Wily.
It's or a prepubescent. Yes.
A prepubescent Mega Man.
Yes. Oh. The super high.
And he also says Bess, by the way. Bess, why are we fighting?
Can't even get it right in the own game. So, okay, and this brings up a question that I thought of when we were doing the chit chat before we started recording, which is, what is your preference for Mega Man's voice? Do you prefer the little kid voice? Or do you prefer the adult voice? And frames of reference for the adult voice, I'm thinking like X when he appeared on the cartoon, where he's like, I'm from the future and my armor is made out of whatever miscellaneum that he said. I can't remember. But
actually, I think it's Basetonium, if I remember it. It's Basetonium or something?
Basetonium. Basetonium.
But yeah, well, I actually, okay, for X, I prefer the adult voice. For Rock, the classic Mega Man, I prefer the little kid voice because it looks like a little kid, you know? But what about you guys? You have like a preference on that?
As I said to you before, I think I'll take the third option, which is Mega Man from Captain N. Way back in the day, and it was like a gravelly, like,
hey guys, this is Mega Man.
Which is how you picture the Mega Man cover art from Mega Man 1, Mega Man.
Exactly.
Sounding.
Bob Hoskins exactly. As Mega Man.
Yeah. Are you talking to me? Yeah. Yeah. But I think it was Mega Man X5, where he had like a squeaky voice, and it was X.
Now, one of the other parts, too, though, is that high-pitched sound is what you hear when he says Hadouken in Mega Man X. It's like, Hadouken! If you remember, like a really high-pitched Hadouken. So maybe there's some like cross-correlation between regular Mega Man and upgraded Mega Man. I don't know.
Wow. I don't remember that. That just kind of blew my little mind.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah. But when you said it sounded right. So it must be
true. Then that's all that counts.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And right now I'm looking at – this doesn't have anything to do with Mega Man X, the first X. But the worst Maverick boss in X history has to be Duff McWhalen. Stupid name. Like, how do you go from Sting Chameleon, Storm Eagle, and then like Duff McWhalen? Like, it sounds like a beer brand. No offense, Ryan.
None taken.
Yeah, it sounds like a weird name. That's what it sounds like. It's a weird name.
I don't remember which game that's from. I haven't played it, but I believe all the bosses in that game are Guns N' Roses references.
Really? Let me go see. That is now I'm like, oh, it is X5. Is it? Come on.
Next up, Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah. It's just like a kid in boss armor, I guess. I don't know. So it's like, oh yeah, Grizzly Slash.
Oh wow.
Duff McWhalen, Squid Adler, Izzy Glow. No, that can't be right. This doesn't look right. IGN, you're leading me astray. I do. Grizzly Slash was one of them, though. I remember that. But it's not even worth the time. It's stupid X5. Anyways, I think I was thinking of X4, though, with Storm Owl. Yeah. Yeah, it was X4 that had the spider, the mushroom for some reason, the walrus, the mantis, or not mantis, manta ray. Anyway, let's get to the good stuff. Okay, so the reason why we started, or the reason why we decided to do this podcast episode specifically, is because the three of us started talking about what happened to the classic Mega Man characters between the classic series and the X series. And I thought we came up with some really great answers for some of them. Like, yeah. So let's talk about that for a little bit. Okay. Is classic Mega Man Rock, is he the same character as Mega Man X?
So I think based off of history here, you'd say no. But honestly, I mean, besides the fact that you can get upgrades, is there any difference between the two of them? I mean, in the overall scheme of things. So if it's not the exact same robot, it's certainly based off of the same design. So especially when you're talking about something that's obviously not human or not alive, and it's the same make of it, is there truly a difference?
Yeah, and the free will thing was something that is, I think, a big difference. But I always thought that Rock had free will, because there's that whole famous thing where he's like, I am more than a robot. You know, he's like, well, he's about to free will Dr. Wily into a crater. So nobody knows what happens to Rock, though, essentially, right?
Essentially.
I mean, yeah. Unless you found something. I didn't find anything.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah. I mean, well, he just got revamped for Mega Man 11. So
he's still
around.
He's out
there somewhere.
Yeah, he's still alive. He's still alive. It's okay. What about Roll? Do we know what happened to Roll? She died in Marvel vs. Capcom, the first one, playable character, right? Let's say that's that. Like I mentioned earlier, I thought that Rush and Zero were the same character. were we recording when we were talking about that?
I don't think we were.
Well, we'll just briefly rehash that. I thought he was Zero.
That's when I said I thought maybe Roll was Zero.
Right.
But maybe Rush is Sigma's dog, and maybe Sigma is Rock.
Oh, gosh. Imagine.
Mind blown.
That would be crazy. Because what if he aged, he grew up, and now he's a bald man who sneers like Elvis and has like superhero-esque battle attacks.
But because he had free will earlier, he was able to lead the other Mavericks.
Okay, but Rock doesn't have free will, though.
Or did he?
Yeah, I don't know.
He was more than just a robot.
Right, exactly, like we were talking about. Well, so, okay, so what if, though, the dog, Sigma's dog, looks a lot like Treble?
That's true.
Bass's dog. We don't know what happened to Bass, or do we? And I just didn't find it in the lore. I don't think I did.
Maybe Bass is Sigma.
Maybe Bass.
Maybe Bass is Bass.
So I'm totally off the cuff here, but I think I remember. So when Zero was created, Zero got the Maverick virus, and he became a Maverick. And Bass, whew, that was close.
Yeah.
He was upset because he thought he was the greatest robot that Wily ever made. And then all of a sudden Zero comes along, and I think the two of them fight it out quite a bit.
Yes.
And then I think Bass – I'm so close to saying Bass. Bass gets destroyed or put asleep or something like that. And then all of a sudden Sigma comes along, and Sigma actually takes out Zero because Zero's a bad guy. And then Sigma gets infected with the Maverick virus. And eventually he becomes the bad guy. Zero loses the Sigma virus and he becomes a good guy. And I've gone cross-eyed.
Yeah. Well, it's hard because then you've got like there's the Maverick virus and then there's the Sigma virus, right?
Right.
There's like the virus that Zero started with. What I read was Zero was created by Dr. Wily to be evil, to destroy Rock. But the Maverick virus, when it morphed into the Sigma virus, affected Zero's programming, so he went from evil to good. So that explains that potentially, I guess.
So interestingly enough, I watched a video and I saw a comment on the bottom of it, which I thought was kind of relevant to this conversation. But it says, funny how two of the series' main characters are the reason why the world got plunged into chaos and destruction. One, if X were never discovered or made, Kane would have never used his specs to create Reploids, that is, we know, and would be infected by the Maverick virus eventually. Two, if Zero was never discovered or made, Sigma would have never gotten infected, and there wouldn't have been key figures to the head of the Maverick Wars and spreading the Maverick virus. Basically, X and Zero doomed the world the moment they stepped out into it.
Right. By means of their existing. Now, and I think that's interesting, and it's something that impressed me when I played Mega Man 11, was how central Light and Wily are to the Mega Man and Mega Man X series. Even though they don't really appear as they were in Mega Man X, their presence is everywhere. Wily's is much more difficult to pin down. Obviously, but Light is there in the form of, you know, these holograms that appear to X and give him his upgrades. But, well, speaking of Wily, there are like three different theories I found that I wrote down as to what happened to Wily. There's Surgis in Mega Man X2, who resembles Wily and who had knowledge somehow on how to rebuild Zero, which wouldn't be coincidental, you know, if Wily built Zero. And then there's the virus. And then there's, I've never played the last X game. ISOC, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. ISOC, who resembles Wily a lot. And, Inafune did say, though, that, you know, Surgis might be, he might not be Wily. It's better to not say as a creator and let the fans hash it out. So I would love to see, like, if they made a Mega Man X9, reveal sort of Wily and what he became and, you know, what happened to him. Because he's such a central character to the original classic series, you know.
And you bring up an interesting point here. They had a robot creating another robot. So at the point in which Mega Man X exists, 2-1-XX, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a very specific time. are there any humans around anymore? Or is it all just robots? Robots or Reploids?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
In the first X, humans are still around.
Okay.
They mention them, huh?
Yeah, when at the end, when you defeat Sigma, he says, "What were you thinking without the humans?
We
could have started a revolution or something like that.
Yeah,
we could have changed the world, something like that.
Yeah,
so they must still be around in the first one,
right? Maybe on like a much smaller scale, but yeah, the Maverick Wars that the X series is built on, like, primarily focuses on the Reploids for sure. I can't think of a single human character, you know, that makes an appearance. But yeah, I think they're definitely referenced. You know, and you mentioned one just now. One of the classic characters that I thought was interesting for an appearance in X. Somebody pointed out. You remember that mini boss on Sting Chameleon's level? The guy with the pincher arms. He has the same coloring and patterns as Otto from the classic series, and he's guarding a Dr. Light capsule. So I was like, huh? I was not like Otto is a huge major player anyway, but I was just like, hey, maybe that's what happened to him. He kind of got like depurposed down to like a guardian robot, you know? So yeah, I was like, huh, I hadn't heard that before. But yeah, we get introduced to other new characters. Zero, who we've been talking about. Zero is kind of an unfair character because he's just so cool. I mean, you wanted to play as Zero the first time you saw him, admit it, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And then definitely. They kind of give you too much of that. It seems like later on in the series, you're like, well, this is just Mega Man Zero, which they eventually they made anyway, right? But
yeah.
But what was it that they I forget who mentioned it, that Inafune wanted to phase out Mega Man and sort of reestablish the series with Zero as the center, you know, which you can't blame him again because Zero is such a cool character.
That's probably why I made him so cool.
Yeah. With a light sword. I mean, a lightsaber versus, you know, a pea shooter. Come on. Take the lightsaber any day.
I'm just glad I'm not the only one who called it the pea shooter. So.
Yeah. Or the lemon shooter in the classic days. When he shoots lemons. Vile was another cool character. I kind of made some attachments between Vile and Bass. Colorations are similar and stuff like that. Maybe attitude a little bit. But again, we don't know.
He always reminded me of Boba Fett because of the face mask. I was like, Boba Fett, there he is.
Yes, but with like that cool arm or a shoulder mounted cannon. There's just
like, so he's cross between Boba Fett and Predator.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, the coolness factor was off the charts for Mega Man X. You can't get much cooler than that. But yeah, to kind of close out this section, so we've mentioned other titles in the X series, and as we all know, X kind of fizzled out. It stopped. The last Mega Man X game that wasn't a re-release or a remake was in 2004. And that was Mega Man X8. So it's been 14 years. It's a long time. It seems like Capcom is just starting to care about Mega Man again with, you know, Mega Man 11. It was funny when Mega Man was announced for Smash Brothers Wii U. Somebody said, like, it's funny that Nintendo cares more about Mega Man than Capcom does. Because they just kind of like, we're like, I don't care about Mega Man anymore. But maybe we'll see another Mega Man X game. Maybe we never will. But what do you guys think happened to this series? Why did it start at such a high point, and what sort of killed it?
So I think it was the natural transition for gaming from a 2D perspective to a 3D. And I think that killed the Mega Man series, especially, I mean, if you're talking about 2004. This is height of PS2 and the Xbox, and most kids were playing Halo. From that perspective, it didn't transition well when they switched over from a 2D platformer to a first person shooter or even a third person shooter, that you saw in, like, say, the N64. So that's one of your problems, is that the gaming itself at the time was looking for 3D versions of games, and Mega Man just didn't transition very well into that.
Yeah.
But thankfully enough, nowadays, there's been this almost renaissance of good 2D games. I mean, if you talk about some of the neo-retro stuff that's been coming back, the people have been starting to put on platforms. I mean, they just came out with Mega Man 11. It's starting to find its way back. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, guys our age who are, you know, getting to the point in their lives where you got more disposable income. So you've gone back to collecting some of the old games if you wanted to, but you also want to relive them on your new PS4 or your new Xbox One or what have you. So moving forward in the future, I'm excited of the prospect of having another decent Mega Man X game come down the pipeline. But I guess we shall see.
Yeah. And it's like they tried the 3D thing with the X series, and it didn't hit home. I think it looked ugly, you know. You had another attempt that they made with Mega Man X in 3D in Mega Man Legends and Legends 2. And mm-hmm. That was another series that were like, you know, 2, done. And you had that spinoff with Tron Bonne, but that didn't really catch on either. I always thought it would be really cool to see a Mega Man game in the style of Metroid Prime, just so, you know, like first-person shooter type thing. That could be really cool, and that could bring him into the modern era. But I definitely get what you're saying with the renaissance of classic-styled games, 2D platformers. Again, it's nice to see that. But what about you, Brent? What do you think killed this series, if you don't agree with that, or if you got another reason?
No, I agree with that. You said, why did it start off on such a high? I would say that's because it started on the Super Nintendo, the best console ever.
Yes, thank you.
So that's why it started off on such a high. But yeah, I think it was the trying to transition, trying to keep up with the trends, and Mega Man's just not a series that's built for that. It kind of reminds me of, you know, artists that were really incredible in the musicians that were really incredible in the 60s and 70s, and then just put out garbage in the 80s and early 90s until they were like, I'll just go back to what we were doing before. And then it was awards and number one records.
Yeah,
don't worry about the new trends. That's not what people care about.
Right.
That's, like, and we, Mega Man's starting to realize that, and it's that's, I think, why it's coming back.
Yeah.
You mentioned you'd like to see a Metroid Prime Mega Man game. I would like to see and I've mentioned this before, a Super Metroid-style Mega Man game. One giant map, the upgrades still unlock the different areas and make the different bosses weaker.
Oh, dude, and that would still follow... Well, okay, so, and typically in a Metroidvania game, you have openness, but also you have funneled linearity in that you can't access certain areas. Now imagine a Metroid style or a Mega Man style, excuse me, Metroidvania game in which it really was open and you could choose whichever way you want, but then you had, you know, the weaknesses of the bosses to sort of funnel you in a certain direction. That's brilliant. That I would play that tomorrow. Like if it was announced.
Mega Man X9.
Yes, Mega Man X9.
Capcom, Nintendo, if you're listening, we just solved the problem for you. So go ahead and send us all a couple million dollars.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, we'll split it three ways. Perfect. Well, yeah, anyway, so it's Brant's idea. We'll split it.
I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really cool idea. Yeah, I just think it got really uncool, you know? X was super, super cool. And then you get to Duff McWhalen, and it's like, where do you go further down than Duff McWhalen?
Well, and you mentioned earlier the music gets lamer as it goes on, so you mix that with the worse graphics because of the transition to 3D and the worse gameplay, and it's like they didn't care about any of the aspects. Bad voice acting, overused voice acting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shoot. I'm trying to remember something you said. I like what you said about the musicians, you know, going back to what they were good at. That seems like that was Mega Man 11, and it needed to be. The Mega Man series, as we mentioned earlier, known for being formulaic. And yeah, maybe that formula, you know, gets stale eventually. Maybe you're like, I kind of wish these games were longer. But at least when you play a classic Mega Man game, or Mega Man X, Mega Man X2, you know what you're getting. You're getting a nicely polished platformer with, you know, the rock, paper, scissors format of level selection. And it works in and of itself. It doesn't need more bells and whistles. It doesn't need, you know, the OVAs and the FMVs. It doesn't need, that killed it. It doesn't need the anime cutscenes. It doesn't need that. It doesn't need Zero saying, "What am I fighting for?" It doesn't need that. Just a couple text boxes and you're good. Just because you're not playing, let's face it, who's playing the Mega Man X series for the storyline? I don't know anybody. You're playing Mega Man X. You're playing Mega Man X for the gameplay. Because the game.
What am I playing for? Yeah.
So, and you just did that 1,000 times better than the voice actor who played Zero. Yeah. But yeah, let's start rounding this out. So Fritzdalgia on Twitter said, "This game is a prime example of good design. The exercise of name three games influenced by Mega Man X always yields interesting results." So in closing, I want to just kind of ask you guys, as we always do, what are some games that you'd recommend, or a game that you'd recommend that is similar to Mega Man X? And I don't know. I have no idea. Like I was talking with you earlier, Ryan, I don't know. I can't think of one. And then you mentioned yours, and I was like, darn it, I wish I thought of that. But yeah, go ahead, you guys. I don't know who wants to go first. You can fight it out or something.
So I think I went with the obvious choice here, which would be Shovel Knight, which is a neo-retro title. And the biggest reason has to do with two biggest reasons, rather, has to do with the two aspects that remind me most of Mega Man X is, for one, the music. The music is stellar with this game. It's a 2D platformer as well, so you get a lot of the tight controls and the action. It's all there. Even the boss battles are pretty decent with Shovel Knight. So honestly, it's one of those games where it's like, wow, that's the complete package. And I'm a huge fan of it. As soon as it came out, I've got it on several different consoles. And to me, that's a perfect analogous for the way Mega Man X plays.
Yeah. And that is, yeah. If there were any game to double dip on, Shovel Knight, of course. What about you, Brent?
Have you ever thought that Shovel Knight kind of looks like Vile if you took the horns off?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, okay.
Really?
Okay.
Fan theory in the making right now. Okay, so Shovel Knight became Vile. There you go. It's all the same universe. Makes sense.
I actually haven't even played Shovel Knight, so.
Oh yeah, we know because you're doing that series on Twitter, yes. Yeah, of games you've not played. You need to play Shovel Knight, really. It is.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. If you need to sell that dog and get Shovel Knight. No, I'm just kidding.
I mentioned Super Metroid earlier. I it's a different genre of game, obviously, but I do see similarities, which is probably why I want to combine them so badly. So I would say Super Metroid. Aside from obviously the classic Metroid or Mega Man games, that's probably the one I would get closest with.
Mighty Number 9. Just kidding. Cool. Just kidding. I've never played Mighty Number 9, but you know what? I haven't played this game either, and it's Azure Striker Gunvolt. And it looks like Mega Man X, but I really, honestly, gentlemen, I cannot think of a game that's like Mega Man X. Not even the latter games in its series are like Mega Man X. If we've made something abundantly clear, it's that Mega Man X is in a league of its own. It is a stellar example of the kind of experience in entertainment that the Super Nintendo could give. With its level of polish, its precision. It's one of those games that you can hit a trance-like state with and feel like you're controlling Mega Man in real time, just like you are Mega Man. That's how I felt. The speed of it, like, puts you on the edge of your seat. It's just such a great game. I'm scrolling through Google right now. I can't say. I cannot think of a single... I honestly can't think of a single other game that's executed quite like that, other than Shovel Knight, and I can't steal yours. So, and Shovel Knight
X2. I said earlier, X2 is quite a bit like X1.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, with accepting sequels, but well, yeah, I would just be like Mega Man 2, like, well, I guess, yeah.
Well, there are a lot of differences as we've also
pointed as out. We have. So
I'm just being devil's advocate.
I know. Yeah. You're like, I'm tired. So this is a long podcast episode, which is as it should be, because this is the Well-Read Mage. We do long stuff. We do long form, long, great, you know? So gentlemen, I don't know if you had anything else to add to this Mega Man X episode. We're all fans, right?
Yeah, it's great. Play it.
Yeah. If you haven't played, okay. So here's a good soapbox moment. If you haven't played Mega Man X, you got to play Mega Man X. I don't know how else to say it. You just should. You really should. And it's everywhere, too. I mean, it was on the Super Nintendo Classic Edition, right? You got to play this game. They re-released it in the Legacy Collections. You got to play this game.
Even if you played the old ones and didn't like the old NES ones and didn't like them, you should still play Mega Man X.
Yeah. And X seems more accessible than some of those old ones do. I mean, the old ones are wonderful in their own different ways, but X seems a little more forgiving, like we were talking about with the tutorial stage, you know? So perfect for players who are unfamiliar. But gentlemen, it's been a pleasure talking with you on this game that we all so love. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for joining me on this episode of MageCast. And just do a final shout out on where our listeners can find you guys.
So you can find me, Ryan, from the Retro Game Brews podcast on Twitter. It's at Boss versus Noob. And before I end up here, I just want to say thank you so much for inviting me. This was awesome. So appreciate
I had
it.
A lot of fun. Thank you very much. And thanks for singing. Thanks for singing your tracks. That was one of the highlights of my week right there. Perfect.
I can't wait for that to live on the internet.
Or to become a meme. Oh, it would be so good. Crikeys. But and Brent, where can we find you?
On Twitter at @ABXY_reviews, at the Well Read Mage, of course. I'm the ABXY Mage. Soon you can find me on MageCast Side Quests.
Yes.
The new podcast.
So pumped for that right now. I'm going to run around the house. I'm so excited. But yeah, thank you guys. It was great chatting with you. And that is that. Goodbye. I hope you enjoyed that episode of MageCast as much as I did. If so, please follow, subscribe, share, and leave us a review to help us reach a wider audience. If you enjoy our work, please consider supporting us in our vision for the future of gaming conversations through patreon.com/thewellreadmage. Special thanks to my magely colleague, Brent Mead, for sound editing. The MageCast theme song, Post Atmosphere, was composed by fellow mage Russell Gordon and can be found on his YouTube and SoundCloud. This episode may be over, but the legend will live on, passed down by the dwarves, the elves, and the dragons.